that today's teaching is going to be on leadership. And this would be, it could be a really good one for the kids. We're going to be looking at different kind of leaders. And it will help you if you guys get the wheels turning without thinking ahead. Don't try to think ahead. Don't try to think of my solutions. Don't try to think of where I'm going. Think. What do you picture King David to look like if he walked down the stairs? What would you picture Saul before he fell? What did he look like? What would you picture when Solomon came walking in? Here's these leaders. How about Moses? He's walking down these stairs. How does he walk into the room? How does he look? How does he address us? Does he look us in the eye? Is he like this? Is he shy? What does the Apostle Saul or Paul? How about that leader? What did he look like? Was he tall? Was he handsome? Was he strong? I imagine, you know, one thing when I was thinking about imagining leaders is it said that Jesus Christ, or Yehoshua Mashiach is the Hebrew, it says you wouldn't recognize him as the son of the living Elohim by his looks. He was very mediocre. You know what that means? He probably didn't look like Dwayne Johnson. He probably didn't look like The Rock. It's hard to blend in that way, isn't it? Looks cool, though. But you know, I do believe he had a perfect body, and every once in a while, this is my own feelings, I bet you that he was the strongest man on the planet. He has the perfect body, he has faith, and every once in a while, Peter and James are going, I can't get the lid out the pickle jar! I can't get it! Guys come in, they're like, oh, you Lord, it's okay, we got it. We're fishermen, we're kind of tough. He goes, give it to me. And they're like, man, you're strong, because you guys want to see something really cool? I can imagine him picking a whole boat up. He's the perfect man! But would he do it to exalt himself? No, no, no. But every once in a while, you're going to go, who is this man? Golly. But anyway, that's the perfect one. What do leaders look like? We're going to turn to 2 Samuel, Samuel, page 336. Use your imagination. Get those wheels turned. What do they look like? And this one's going to be a great one. 2 Samuel, the 15th chapter. I'm going to try not to give the verses so I don't get too far ahead of myself. I get a little excited. Get a little distracted. Especially when I start telling stories. Second Samuel 15 chapter. Actually, Isaiah, if you switch places with Melania, Mamaw can help Isaiah find the chapters. Yeah. We're going to read about a guy. Before we read about him, let's go over a little bit of Hebrew. Jesus Christ was his son. His father was the God of the Hebrews, right? Okay. Abraham. What's his name?
Father.
Ab means father of a multitude. Okay. Does anybody know what king is in Hebrew? Melech. Melech. So Abimelech. What do you think that means? Yeah. My father, the king. It's actually kind of like medicine, some of these Hebrew words. Mm-hmm. How about Abijah? Abijah. Who's my father? Yahweh is my father. And then Elisha. El is for El, is short for El, like Elohim. El is one of Yahweh's names. Elisha. What's his name mean? Who's his El? Yahweh. So Yahweh is short for Yahweh. So when you met this prophet and they go, who are you? His name is, my God is Yahweh. You know exactly who you are. Cancel the pork sandwich. I'll explain later. He's not going to eat a pig. Or the catfish. Okay, how about Beth? Does anybody know what Beth means? Bethel. El. What's El? House of God. Very good. Bethel. Bath. Bath. Bathsheba. Daughter of Sheba. Sheba. Very good. How about... okay, we know what Beth... Beth Lechem. What's Beth?
House.
House. Lechem. house of bread. Bethlehem, house of bread.
Bread. Oh.
And you start learning some of these things. Then you go to Solomon, and you got peace. You start seeing some things, start thinking of these. And Yahweh puts all kinds of things. And here's, we're going to go into Absalom. 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 With Salam, very
peace.
Peace. What's Ab? My father is peace. Who's this guy's father? David. It's an interesting way to think of peace. Yeah. 200 foreskin. I wrote about that peaceful guy. That's your idea of peace. You can imagine somebody getting ready to date King David's daughters. Oh, what's your dad do? Oh, here's my brother. Absalom. Oh, your dad's very peaceful. Oh, yeah, you might say that. Here's my dad. He's King David. Anyways, we're going to learn about Absalom. My father is peace. And it came to pass after this that Absalom...
Where are you?
15:1, sorry. Absalom prepared him chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. So what? Hint, clue. Deuteronomy 17:16. We won't go there, but this is E.W. Bollinger. So this, I got two Bibles that are glued together. The greatest study Bible with the most accurate Bible. He says, this is a sign of pride. Horses, do not store up horses. This is a sign of pride. James says, what are we supposed to do to the devil? Anyone? What do you do with the devil? Resist him. So somebody goes, I can't get rid of this demon. All you got to do is resist him. Get out of darkness, resist him. He's got to go. Unless it's two different sins. Who knows the two sins? Idolatry and sexual immorality. Unless it's those two sins, you flee. David could resist the adversary and he would flee. But Bathsheba was sexual immorality. So when you get tempted, you run. Absalom has horses and people running before him. Is not a good start for this guy. The horses is a sign of pride. Also, David, this is interesting, I'll give you a little history, is approximately 56 years old at this point. And Absalom is 24. Solomon is 6. How old are you?
7.
So Solomon's about your age. Okay? And verse 2. Absalom used to rise up early and take his stand beside the way of the gate. And so it was, when any man who had a controversy would come unto the king for judgment, then Absalom called unto them and said, so there's the emphasis, of what city art thou? And he said, of one of the tribes of Israel is thy servant. And Absalom was saying to him, see, thy cause is right, good and aright. But to hear it, thou hast no one from the king. And Absalom would say, oh, would that I were appointed to judge in the land, that unto me might come every man having a complaint or defense. Then would I see him rightly. Moreover, so it used to be that when any man came forth near to do him homage, he would put forth his hand, lay hold of him, and kiss him. Okay. Does this sound like a leader? Wise? Look at verse 24, 25. So his father's the king, and he's going out there, and he's trying to give wisdom. What else do we know about Absalom? Somebody please read it. Actually, Mel, would you read verse 25?
Yeah. Then said the king unto...
No, verse... 14:25.
Oh, 14.
Found it. Oh,
okay, got it. Now like unto Absalom, was there no man handsome in all Israel to be greatly praised, from the sole of his foot even to the crown of his head? There was not in him a blemish.
Not a blemish. What did he look like, guys?
He's
gorgeous. If you keep reading, he was Tom Brady. Or something, whatever you can imagine, like somebody that's flawless looking. If you keep reading, not only do you have that, for some reason chicks like a lot of hair. I don't know why. He's got big Fabio hair. And it talks about he'd shave his head and they'd give it, he'd weigh it. So this guy, he's like, he had a whole bunch of hair. I don't understand it. But he put it in there. So for some reason, people really liked a lot of his hair. I don't get it. But it's in there. What did he look like? Flawless. Where was he? Standing at the gates. And I agree. The problem with Absalom, he didn't have a job. Idle time's the devil's time. What's he doing? Why didn't he work it? What did he do? Verse 6. And Absalom, after 15, verse 6. And Absalom did after this manner to all Israel who came for judgment unto the king. So Absalom stole away the heart of the men of Israel. Who stole Israel? Absalom. And then the people. They chose him. He looked great. Exodus chapter 3, page 86. That's one type of leader.
I'm sorry, Exodus what?
Exodus, the third chapter. Genesis, Exodus. I can imagine, not to pick on Joel Osteen or something, you see some people that are really good on TV. And you look at them, and it's human nature to look at somebody and find a flaw. It's wicked. Oh, I knew there would be something wrong with them. Ha! But every once in a while, you'll see a minister that looks fantastic on TV. They look great. Maybe they're this or that, and you're going, man, they look perfect. Absalom looked like that. Now we're going to look at some different kind of leaders. Exodus chapter 3. Verse 11. And what's interesting in the raw thing was showed that it was not just a burning bush, it was a thorn bush. And he'll also say that during this account with Moses, there was a sea serpent. Aaron's staff turned into something different than Moses, or that there's different times. One time it turned into like a sea serpent, the other time it could have been like a crocodile. It's all kinds of, if you think about the snakes, the staffs eating each other, it could have been it was a crocodile fight. It's the same word for crocodile. It gives you a whole other picture of this word, doesn't it? Can you imagine crocodiles fighting at the king's feet? Is that tense? Yikes! Pick up your feet! Move the dog! Anyways, verse 11. After Yahweh says, I've seen the humiliation. Moses is an 80-year-old guy. We know that from the book of Acts. He's a shepherd. What's his father-in-law? Midian.
Shepherd.
He's a priest. Yahweh didn't go to the priest. He went to the layperson, shepherd. Does Moses have any experience being like a priest or a minister?
No.
Oh, look at that. And Moses said unto Elohim, what was his answer? Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the sons of Israel out of Egypt? Who am I? Oh. Is his heart different than Absalom?
Yeah.
Completely different, isn't it? Absalom didn't last very long either. And here's Moses going, I'm the wrong guy, man. Wrong guy. Great heart. But when Moses looked at his own abilities, he goes, I tried that 40 years ago. Didn't work out. And I believe in Moses, this is not necessarily Moses being afraid. He's going, I don't have the ability. People are going to die. I have no warfare. I don't know any of this stuff. So it's really legitimate stuff, and Yahweh walks through it. What's really neat about, I'm going to diverge real quick. What's really interesting about the Rotherham is, if you look at top, and I'm going to come back to leadership, but just an interesting thing right here. 3 verse 13b, Moses is talking to a burning bush. He's actually having like an argument. I can imagine walking away. Ah! He goes back. Okay, what? Oh my goodness, okay, what else? Oh, how am I going to do this? Oh, and he's walking in circles. We just watched a movie last night called Ghost Town, and this guy can hear ghosts, and he looks like a lunatic. Can you imagine Moses having to talk to this bush? Does anybody else hear what the bush is saying? I don't know. Can you imagine other shepherds going, oh my goodness, Moses has been doing so good. Oh, God, I'm 80 years old, man. Oh, what does Moses ask at the end of verse 13b? So surely will they say unto me, what's the next verse? Somebody read that loud. What is his name? What is the name of our Elohim? Yeah. Every other translation is going to say, I am that I am. That's not a name. It's not a proper noun. Moses said, what's your proper noun? Pharaoh's got all kinds of Elohims. What's this say down in verse 15? Mom?
Would you read
15, please? Yeah.
And Yahweh said yet further unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the sons of Israel, Yahweh, Elohim of your fathers, Elohim of Abraham, Elohim of Isaac, and Elohim of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name to times age of
Every Bible. Other translation, because a Jewish superstition hid that name Yahweh, and they put the Lord. As Jewish superstition, it's at the introduction of your preface. Beginning your NIV, your King James, they'll say every place they saw Yahweh, they hid it for Jewish superstition. Who killed Stephen? The Jews. Who killed Jesus Christ? The Jews. Who slew the prophets? The Jews. Okay, but that's not where we're going with this. But this is really interesting. So Moses comes down, talks to his wife. He goes, you think you got a hard thing? Go explain to somebody that a bush told you that your Elohim does have a name, and it's something you've never even heard before, and his name's Yahweh. Oh yeah, who told you that? Oh, the bush. I had an argument with him. You think you got some people were afraid of speaking tongues in front of people. Go convince somebody that a bush talked to you. Oh, talk about being stressed out. Anyways, here's a neat thing. Return to 5. He says, go tell Israel the name of your Elohim, the proper noun, is Yahweh. When you talk to Jews or Messianic Jews, they'll say, the Jews won't even say Yahweh's name. I go, religious people that killed Jesus Christ won't say it. Moses was commanded to say it. What do you say about that? Was Moses a Jew? And in Joshua 1:8, it says, you take these words and put them in your mouth and speak them day and night. You know how many times Yahweh's name is written between Genesis to the book of Joshua? 1,600 times. How many times did Joshua say Yahweh's name? He would have said a lot. Yahweh loves his name. But here's the funny part. In verse 5, so now Moses convinces Israel, our Elohim does have a name. No, he doesn't. He doesn't have a name. And his name is he's the Lord. No, actually his name is Yahweh. No, it's not. He would have shown the signs. Okay? But then they go to Pharaoh. You imagine going to a wicked person that hates your God, whether he knows the name or not, going to Barack Obama saying, Yahweh says, leave his people alone. Here's what he said, 5 verse 2. Here's what Pharaoh said. Pharaoh would have said, come here. What name did he say? I've heard of Ra, the sun god. I've heard of the frog god. I've heard of Beelzebub. I've heard of these other gods. There's gods everywhere. That's the 10 plagues of Egypt were the different gods. What was the name of this? And they go, I think he said Yahweh. What does Pharaoh say in verse 2? Then said Pharaoh, who is Yahweh? Probably laughing. Never heard of this one. That I should hearken to his voice? Like I'm going to bow before an Elohim I've never heard? A new one. Oh, here we go. To let Israel go? I know not Yahweh, and certainly Israel will I not let go. And like a judge slammed, get him out of here. Now turn to verse chapter 14. Have they heard Yahweh's name? Not a surprise. Moses didn't know it either. But there's a big showdown, okay, corral, between Yahweh and who does Pharaoh represent? He's the hands and feet of our adversary, the serpent, who's trying to stop the seed of the woman from crushing his head. And by the end of this fight, 14 verse 25, we're going to get to quote those same Egyptians who did not know Yahweh's name. Neither am I going to bow to somebody Elohim I never heard of. From this 80-year-old shepherd who's been spending too much time out in the sun. What do they say? Verse 24, you skip down, we must flee. You guys all see that? Mel, why don't you read that? We're quoting the Egyptians now.
Verse 25.
24, you see like where it says, not there yet. Sorry.
Yep.
See the we must? Okay.
We must flee. It's verse 25, not
24. You got it? Already. 24. And it came to pass in the morning watch that Yahweh looked down to the camp of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud and confused the camp of the Egyptians. And he took off the wheels of their chariots.
And he made them drive heavily. So the Egyptians said, Mel? We must flee from the face of Israel for Yahweh. Never heard of his name. But you know what? They heard him that by that time. Who did they say? Yahweh is fighting for them and against the Egyptians. He built quite the reputation by chapter 14. Ah! It's the same God. This isn't Beelzebub. This isn't a frog God. This isn't the sun who never visits us. This guy, you don't mess around with this one. And they all get wiped out. Yahweh preserved that for us. Isn't that interesting? Okay, but now we're going to go back to leadership. It's just important. If you can make a footnote right there, you're going to go, look at this. If any other translation is going to say the Lord. There's many lords and many gods. It says, I think, 1 Corinthians 8. There's many lords, there's many gods. Which God are we talking about? Are we talking about Allah? Because the Hebrew, the Muslims will say it's the same God. We're not talking about Allah. Now we'll turn to Judges chapter 6. So back to leaders, different kind of leaders. Absalom, my father's peace. And you know what Absalom tried to do? Absalom, my father's peace, tried to kill David. He did a coup. He tried to murder his father. He looked so pretty and perfect, right? He looked really nice, didn't he? But what did he do? He's going to murder Yahweh's anointed. He's going to take it from him. That's Absalom. Looked real perfect, didn't he? Didn't last very long. Now in verse Judges chapter 6, page 226.
226?
Yeah. 266, sorry. 266, thanks. Chapter 6, we're going to look at another leader. So who chose Absalom? Himself and then the people liked him. I vote for Absalom. That's what the people did. Who chose Moses? Yahweh did. Did the people like Moses? No, they hated Moses. They wanted to kill Moses, but he has some pretty good bodyguards. Good secret service when you're a prophet. Now we're going to look at another one. Gideon, chapter 6. Would somebody please read 13 through 15? And it would be good for an adult.
And Gideon said unto him.
He's speaking to the angel. The messenger of Yahweh says, Mighty man of valor. And Gideon goes, Wait a minute, man. I'm not seeing what you're seeing. Go ahead.
Pardon, my lord. If Yahweh be with us, then wherefore hath all this befallen us? And where are all his wonders which our fathers have recounted to us, saying, Was it not out of Egypt that Yahweh brought us up? But now hath Yahweh abandoned us and delivered us into the hand of the Midians. And Yahweh turned unto him, and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel out of the hand of Midian. Have I not sent thee?
15.
And he said unto him, Pardon, O my Lord, how shall I save Israel? Lo, my thousand is the poorest in Manasseh. And I am the youngest in the house of my father.
And Yahweh said unto him, What's the solution? I will be with thee. So shalt thou smite the Midians as one man. Moses is the same thing. Yahweh says, We're going to do this together. And it was methodical. And Yahweh knew exactly what he was doing. And the people in the land of Canaan got to hear what Yahweh did. There's a purpose to that fight. Everybody got to see, what is this Elohim? Who is he? And so Yahweh says, we will do this together. Was Gideon a great leader? He took on 136,000 Midianites with an incredible plan. It goes into a plan, surrounds them at night. They smash the jars, each of the 300. One jar would have represented about 100 warriors. It's a flashlight. Okay, so they had 300. It looked like they had 300 times 100. Okay? And then they said, A sword for Yahweh and for Gideon! And you know what they did after that? They stood still. And guess what happened to the Midianites? They killed each other. That didn't sound too tough. I could do that! The difference is, Yahweh doesn't tell you that ahead of time, does he? No. But he does work out that way when we walk out in faith. He always shows up. He always shows up. He's asking you to do something you can't do. Why? He wants you to need him. Yeah. You have a 2-year-old son named Caleb. Isn't it great when he reaches up? Dad, my leg is broke. Can't walk. Put me on your back. Hey, get up here. All right. That's great to be needed. Our Father, he never gets bored. That's wonderful. Here's Gideon. And Gideon says, Yahweh hath abandoned us, and that's how great for the United States. Well, the only time they give Yahweh any credit is the act of God when horrible things happen. Why horrible things happen with this Elohim? Did Yahweh abandon Israel?
No.
Gideon's father had an Asher pole, or he had a cut right in his front yard. They had abandoned Yahweh. But Gideon felt like, a lot of times people feel Yahweh and Jesus Christ, why are bad things happening to us? Do you do as word says? Then somebody goes, stop saying Yahweh is not answering prayers if you don't open your Bible. I saw that on Instagram. If you don't open your Bible, then don't say he's not answering your prayers. Okay, that's kind of interesting. So Judges, what was Gideon's response? Who am I?
Yeah.
What was Yahweh's response? Who am I? Because Gideon knew about the wonders of Yahweh. And Gideon knew about what? Moses and that big fight. Where are his wonders? And Yahweh said, I'm glad you brought that up. Because I'm about ready to show my kids how strong I am. And it's a wonderful thing with a father. When a child feels like they're in harm's way, my son, when he was 4 years old, he was wondering if I could defend him. I have a ministry I'm really blessed of supernatural strength in the gym. As long as I'm humble and I give him all the credit, I get to keep it. If I get cocky, I lose it. And I almost knocked a whole table over right in front. It was like a 10-foot table. My son went, did he want me to do it again? I said, no. But for a father to show his children that he's strong is wonderful. You wonder if I can defend you? 1 Samuel chapter 9, 296. Was Gideon a great leader? Yes. Was Absalom a good leader? No. Did Gideon have any abilities?
No.
Wait a minute, was he a warrior?
No.
No, where was he? He was a farmer. A lay person. Again? What is that? He didn't go to one of the priests. He went to a fisherman, a tax collector, a doctor. Wait a minute, it's like Ben Carson we're talking about. They're going, well, look at Ben Carson. Maybe he should be a minister. No! Keep doing what you're doing. Anyways, 1 Samuel chapter 9, 20 verse through verse 21. 21. 1 Samuel chapter 9. We're looking at another guy before his fall. He goes to the prophet. He goes to Samuel. You find out where his dad's donkeys are. What's the prophet tell him? In verse 20. Eli, will you read verse 20 and 21 for me?
And as for the asses that went astray from thee 3 days ago, do not regard them, for they are found, but to whom belongeth all that is desirable in Israel? Is it not to thee and to all the house of thy father? Then answered Saul and said, Am not I a man of Benjamin, of the smallest of the tribes of Israel? And is not my family the poorest of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin? Wherefore then hast thou spoken unto me of such a thing as this?
I used to think that Benjamin is named a lot with great leaders. Benjamin, I'd be interested to do a study, because Saul of Tarsus, what tribe? Benjamin. This Saul, Benjamin, over and over again. Before I did this study, I was going, man, Benjamin must have been a great tribe. No, actually, it was the smallest tribe. That's probably why Yahweh picked it. It was the weaklings, the little ones, the smallest guy on the football team, the water boy. That's what he chose. What does Saul say? Wrong guy, man. Who am I? Wrong guy. Here's a shepherd as far as we know. A lot like Moses. A lot like Gideon. Not like Absalom. 1 Samuel chapter 16. It's page 304. Actually, we'll come right back to that. First, just remember 304. Turn to 426. First Chronicles 17. 2 Samuel, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles. I did. Isaiah didn't have it. 426. Verse 16, and then we're going to look at one of Yahweh's greatest heroes. If you have an online Bible, which is some of the best Bible software there's on the planet, if not the. It's $35. And this is where my dad started finding all kinds of, if you want to do a word search, how many times is Yahweh written? Do you say how many times is word? 6,800 times. Over. Huh. How many times is Jesus written? 900. Huh. How many times is Abraham written? 700. Interesting. How many times is David written? 1,100. Somebody wrote all this. But then Yahweh's name is 6,800 times. Now we're going to go to David. How many times is David written? And what did Yahweh record? Remember that in the New Testament, Yahweh recorded. He told people what to write. Yehoshua, son of David. And Jesus Christ, the Messiah, was even called David. What kind of guy is this? Who is David? And what did David say? Verse 16. Then entered King David and tarried before Yahweh and said, "Who am I, O Yahweh Elohim?" What did he say when Yahweh approached him? He fell down on his knees. He goes, "Who am I? Who am I?" And Yahweh says, "Perfect resume. I'm looking for blank sheets here. I'm looking for humility." I used to be so afraid to get honest with myself and fall down on my knees and have a heartfelt prayer as a teenager. Do you know why? Nobody told me this. I just knew it. I knew he was going to ask me to do something I didn't want to do. La, 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 la. Did you guys know that? Do you guys have the same feeling? I didn't want to be still. I just knew he was going to ask me to do something or to give up something I didn't want to give up. So I was scared.
Yeah.
I was a perfect resume. So are you. What is he asking you to do? Did he ask Moses to be a shepherd? What kind of? Moses became the prophet, and he was a shepherd of all the people. But he had to bring down a crook just on, just like the sheep. What was his ability? Humility. Who am I? How about Gideon? Golly, Gideon? What a guy. Who am I? He asked Gideon to do something he had no ability. When he asked you to do something, did you have no resume? That's the time to get really excited. And I read about Samuel saying, "Saul, you're it," I can imagine him getting a hot flash, his whole body getting hot, going, "What in the world's going on here?" Saul didn't have the Holy Spirit at that point. He wasn't anointed yet, as far as we know. What is this guy talking about? Responsibility, response. And I get, you know what happened? He would have been completely submersed in peace. Then 2 days later, he'd be like, "Oh, what was I thinking? What was I thinking?" Just like all of us. And here's David. Who am I? Who am I? 1 Samuel 16, that's page 304. And here's Yahweh talking to Samuel. "Do not regard his countenance or the height of his stature, for I have rejected him. For what it is not for, it is not what man looketh to, but what Elohim looketh to. For man looketh to the outward appearance, but Yahweh looketh to your heart." If you are being confronted with something, and you have a "who am I," that's wonderful. Because Absaloms, or a president, or Hillary Clinton right now, do you know what they would do if they got contacted? They'd say, "It's about time." He doesn't need that. What he needs is humility. Moses and the greatest leader said, and you guys can turn to Luke 5. What did Moses say when Yahweh came to him? "Who am I? Who am I?" What did Absalom say? "Look at me. Look at me." Nope. "Oh, wait a minute. Didn't you see my reflection?" "Don't need it, creep." When I wrote down the "who am I" leader or "look at me" leader, I was hesitant. Because I like to be looked at. So I'm probably not the leader. "Look at me here, everybody, look." Really like attention. Probably why I'm not going to be a big leader. Peter, Luke chapter 5, verse 8. Would somebody please read that?
"And Simon, beholding, fell down at the knees of Yahushua, saying, 'Depart from me, because a sinful man am I, O my Lord.'
What's really interesting about that, and I'm going to kind of digress real quick, and I'm going to come right back to the leader. What did Peter say? I'm a sinful man. Turn to Mark 2, verse 8. Page 36. I'm not going to project anything, but it's really interesting. Okay. Mark 2, verse 8. And it's page 36. Oh, check this out. This is really cool. 2, verse 1. And entering into Capernaum, where was Jesus Christ or Yahushua's headquarters?
Capernaum.
Very good. After some days, it was heard, he is in a house. See the footnote? In a house. Okay? Look at the very bottom. A, what does that say? Whose home are we talking about here? Who are they going to take the roof off of? Whose house? It looks like he was in his own home. Something like this. Where's your congregation? I'll show you. Ooh, 4x8. All right. Easy to pick up. Whose house were they in? As far as we know, this was Yahushua's home. And here they come in, and they're going to lower a paralytic in verse 5. And Yahushua, seeing their faith, said unto the paralytic, I love these, seeing their faith. Child, forgiven are thy sins. How did he know this guy had sins? Verse 8. And Yahushua straightway taking note in his spirit that thus they were deliberating within themselves, saying unto him, why these things are that ye deliberating in your hearts? Yahushua could see inside people's hearts, like reading their mind. If Peter was not sinful, do you think the teacher would have corrected him? Probably. No, you're not sinful. What did Yahushua do with Nathanael? A Jew in whom there is no guile. And here's this whole thing. So it could be that sometimes we look at Peter, he's actually the little pebble, because on this rock is a different word. I can't affiliate with Peter. Well, Peter said, I'm sinful. And Yahushua didn't argue with him. And he could see people's hearts because he looked at the religious people going, what is easier? To say your sins are forgiven or take up your bed and walk? Whose house are they in when they were thinking these things? Yahushua's house. Man. And he could see their thoughts. And he goes, take up your bed and walk. And at the very conclusion, thus, they'd never seen anything like it. But he could see their hearts. Peter was going, do you got some garbage in your life? And you think, as soon as I get rid of the garbage, and I'm like, Nathanael, then I'll be called. And you know what happens sometimes? He goes, bring the garbage. No, oh, not my garbage, man. No. You know, wait a minute. You know what my garbage is, don't you? Now, to turn also, John chapter 4, about looking at people, reading thoughts. Now, Yahushua was not Yahweh, because when a woman with the issue of blood touched him, he said, who touched me? So he didn't have all-knowing like Yahweh did, but he could see sin at times. He could read, so Yahweh was communicating things. He didn't argue with Peter when he said, I'm a sinful man, did he? John chapter 4. This is the woman, that people say the woman at the well, and it's really the woman at the fountain. I'll come back to the teaching. But what's really interesting with this is that people and teachers will say, this woman had a checkered past. She did wicked things. Look at this woman. She repented. She turned around. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on a second. Did Yahushua ever say anything about her past? Well, he corrected her if she lied. He corrected the Pharisees. He corrected the Sadducees. Right? What did he do with her? Were the Sadducees and the Pharisees looking for the Messiah? No. And if he would have showed up, they would try to kill him. Look over in verse 25 what the woman at the fountain said. The woman said unto him, I know the Mashiach cometh, who is called Christ. If she would have been sinful or something, just going before Jesus Christ, light makes darkness manifest. I think if Yahushua walked in here, any kind of thing, we'd be like, hey man, I told my son about people going, they're not going to bow to Yahweh. He goes, they hate Yahweh. I go, they'll bow to him. He goes, what is that going to be like? And I go, we can imagine somebody acting real tough and they walk out of their house and there's a T-Rex in their front yard. They're not going to be acting real tough. It's the same thing where if we're around Jesus Christ, all of our sins, there's no hiding these things. What did the woman do? She was confident. She talked to him. She was looking for him. Elijah went and told everybody, you got Nick the Mashiach's here. And where was this? Oh, here's another layperson. A woman at the well. These are the Samaritans, the half-Jews. What kind of leadership is Yahweh looking for? He's looking for you. He doesn't need your abilities. He can incorporate them because the Apostle Paul was able to incorporate all of his religious stuff. But what did he say about all that? I'm a Pharisee of Pharisees, circumcised on the eighth day. But what did he consider all that? Fecal matter. Dumb. Without humility. It's worth nothing. So if you have abilities, then we incorporate it. We get on our knees and say, show me how to use these things. But these should be the great things to be looking at. I'll speed things up. Turn to 1 Samuel 11:22. We'll wrap these things up. Because you know what he's asking every single one of us to do? Something we don't want to do. He's asking us to do something we're not good at. He's asking you to teach. Oh, I don't know how to teach. You know, it might sound funny because I really enjoy it now. Do you know who really didn't ever want to teach? I was the last person I didn't want to teach. I didn't want any pressure. I wanted to be in the back of the room. I didn't want any attention on me because then nobody would know exactly what I'm doing. Because it's really easy to look at the leader and go, ah, ha, ha, like catch them. I didn't want to teach. My dad didn't want to teach. Tim didn't want to teach. All of us are called to teach. All of us are Gideons. All of us are Moses. What is he asking you to do? We will do it together. So as we look at these things, get down on your hands and knees and you just say, let's do this. Let's do this. Who cares? It doesn't matter. Anybody else? And he's going, I was waiting for this. You're going to be... So we're at 1 Samuel chapter 11, verse 22. Now this is the neat thing about calling, so we've been called to do something. All of us have passed. He asks us to do something, and we act like we didn't hear anything until it goes away. Oh, Aaron, oh boy. You know, like a teacher's calling your name out, or your parents are saying your name. Act like you didn't hear anything. All of us do it. He's asking us to do something, and we think if we ignore it, sometimes it does work. If you ignore them long enough, it goes away. Yeah. Oh, pressure's gone, right? 1 Samuel chapter 11, verse 22. Would somebody read that?
Esther will.
Nas the Gen of Yahweh, hath thee not come hither a man? And Yahweh said, lo, he hath hid himself among the stores.
Samuel went to Israel, and before this is a sermon going, you guys are getting what you want. You're getting a king. You've rejected Yahweh as a king, and he's given one. Now Yahweh's going to pick it. And Yahweh told Samuel how he's going to do it. And he calls out Benjamin. Benjamin comes out. And then he goes, the Kish. And all of a sudden, here's Samuel. Here's the prophet going, where's the guy? Wait, he can't be four. He's the tallest guy in all of Israel. He's probably 6'11". Where is this guy? Here's Samuel. Have you ever been there? You've been obedient? You went someplace at the right time, they're not here? You think Samuel had a little bit of pressure here? Imagine the crickets, tweet, 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 tweet. He's looking around, oh boy. Where was Saul? He was hiding in a closet. Oh, it's a second chance. It's a second chance. And Yahweh worked with him. And Saul got off to a fantastic start. And because of Saul's beginning, I believe his son Jonathan did the same thing. And Jonathan took up. And who looked up to Jonathan? David. And so what if we've messed up every once in a while? Just get started. And who else got a second shot? In John 21, verse 3, Jesus Christ came to Peter and said, Peter, do you love me? What are you doing? And Peter's going, hey, why you got to single me out, man? Peter. And he does that with all of us. And Peter got a second shot, didn't he? Would Peter ever go back and then do what happened? What do you think he did when he went to sleep when the guy at Gate Beautiful was dancing? Have you ever led somebody into a prophecy? Or led somebody into salvation? Have you ever felt that? When you get to be the messenger, the angel going, boom! and you get that peace. And every once in a while with us, it's just kind of like we're like a wide receiver that never gets a pass. We're always blocking. All of a sudden, he calls our number. Yay! And we get the number. Like, that was so worth it. I've been blocking the whole year. He finally threw the ball. I met Francis at the gym. And he gave me a prophecy in the middle of the gym. And boom, there it was the whole night. I was just sitting there. And here's Saul. Here's Peter. You've been passing up. I've passed up. Just get back on your knees and say, give me another shot. Call my number again. Well, who are you? It doesn't matter who I am. It matters who you are. Because I look at the heroes that you have given me. And your heroes is not Tom Brady. It's not Peyton Manning. I'm not like those guys. But I am like Gideon. I'm a little bit like Saul. I hide a lot. Especially when somebody says, oh boy. They're going to go, okay. And they're going to go, who is with you? And so, if you're like Moses and you're ill-equipped, if you're like Gideon, and you think Yahweh's going to abandon you, if you're like these leaders, well, then you've got some good stuff going. Amen. If you don't feel like you should be leading people, fantastic! If you think you should be in charge of everybody, well, we might need to talk. Because Yahweh needs humility. And actually, the greatest leaders are the ones that don't want to lead. And the people that want to be leaders, usually they can't. Because it's a conflict of interest. So when it comes back to the greatest leaders, it just comes back to the heart. What's their heart? What do they want? Do you have ability? Yes. Mm-hmm. Why? Because the other side of the humility, as we look at our own abilities, as we look at who's Aaron Cunningham. Man, I got flaws all over the place, man. Right? But then, what does the scripture say about my new identity in Christ? My new identity in Christ. This is humility. It is, you are seated in the heavenlies. You are new creation of new mold. Set apart. A sacred secret. The Christ. Where Christ is the head. That had the rulers of this age known about the sacred secret. The body of Christ. We're not the bride. We're the body of Christ. He's going to have a bride. It's Israel. Were his hands and his feet.
Amen.
Had the rulers of the age known it, they wouldn't kill the Lord of glory. That's you. That's you. That's you. We are the nails of the living Elohim. The Ark of the Covenant. Pretty neat, right? You're better than that. And greater works is available to us in Christ. You have the mind of Christ. You are above and not beneath. Everything you need will be given. Have you sown bountifully? Then you will reap bountifully. And when he tells you to go out and you go, hold on a second, this doesn't make any kind of sense here. I got no abilities, I got no resources. You come back and you go, wait a minute. Is this going to make me require more of your resources? Then you go, let's just get this thing started. Because those are the greatest ones ever. We thank you, Father, for these words as we're getting ready to hear manifest the Holy Spirit that is inside us according to the 1 Corinthians chapter 14. It's the power chapter explaining we have Christ inside us. And how can we prove it? Well, we can manifest. Now, almost every Christian believes they can hear from Jesus Christ. Yeah, the Lord told me. What is that? 1 Corinthians 14 is going to say there's word of knowledge, there's word of wisdom, all the rest of these things. Somebody like to go ahead and speak in tongues and interpret or prophesy, please.
My children, you are powerful. You just don't realize it. You may not think you're powerful, but you're more powerful than you think you might be. I know you. I know how powerful you are. I am your Lord. I know what you do and what you think. I know you have power that you don't know. And someday you will know it. But I am the Lord. I know everything about you. Amen.
My children, the tongue is the strongest weapon. It can hurt somebody very badly, or it can heal somebody. It can heal sicknesses, and it can make sicknesses. My children, you must use it wisely, because I cannot control your tongue. I can help you, but I cannot control it.
My children, I want you to be like the sun. The people see in you your beautiful brightness shining out of them. And that make
make them light up his soul and say, wow, look at it. I want to be like them. I want to be just like them. Or even better. But I want you to make people think that. So they can be just like you and be a lot of sons.
Irian Dion, ayo kreme si tia na tasa se serike. Mate se se serike na kola maje fil. Pesmeniti terasa. Know my word and know my words. Know each word that I have given you, for my words are power. Know that I have given you peace, I have given you health, I have given you long life, and I promise to refresh you. I have given you all these promises and these answers to your requests because I wish above all things that you do that which I have asked you to do. You continue to follow my word and follow my requests. Do my request, do the things that I ask you to do, and you will reap great promises and great treasures.
My sons and daughters, do not ever feel that you are abandoned or that as a survivor in a lifeboat in the middle of the ocean. Know that I am with you, that I see the things that are around you. And even though things may look to you like you are in a fog and you cannot see through the tough things, know that I can see the land that is right beyond it. And that the new day will come and you will see the same things that I am able to see. For I am with you and I will guide you as you come before me and follow my paths and follow my ways, that I will instruct you and I will give you wisdom that you need.
I'll give a prophecy for everybody else.
Before I will, I think I wanted to share something. There was a point in my life, probably like 6-7 years ago, that I was at the end of the road, empty, alone. I had $45,000 of revolving debt that just accumulated. And Yahweh called me to Kenya. And you know what? You know, a lot of times you want to know if you're being sent on a mission from Elohim, it's usually a place you don't want to go. The last place in my life is that we wanted to go to East Africa. That was scary. Send that guy. He's always wanted to go to Africa. That's what I thought. My brother would love that. Moses did the same thing with Aaron. I got a brother. You need to talk to my brother here. But I came back, and it was confirmed through scriptures. It was confirmed through other people. I didn't tell anybody. It was on my heart. I asked him to pray for me. And Yahweh says, won't I take care of you? And even when I went to Kenya, did you know what I was going to be doing over there? I had no idea. So scared. So scared. And I came back a different guy. I've never been the same. And guess what he did with that debt? He doubled my income. You can't take a month off of work and double your income.
Yeah.
You can't do that. What was he asking me to do? I'm thinking, I'll lose my house. I'll lose this. I'll lose that. I'll be humiliated. God, do you know how bad this thing could be if this goes south? I could lose my head. I've heard about Somalia. These other things. And then I'd get down there. I'm like, and guess what? He would talk to me. 1 Corinthians 14 says he's a God of peace. And whenever I would get down, like when I was a teenager, I was afraid to listen to him. He was going to ask me to do something I didn't want to do. But I went back and I learned how to go, what's the worst case scenario? He asked me again. I could say no, right? Let him talk to you. Right? I did. And he goes, I got you, man. Go. I came back and I've never been the same. And I'm just so thankful for the. But anyways, so I had nothing. And I came back, I brought back stuff I learned from Africa. I'm a different guy. So, and it was April the next year, he doubled my income. I didn't even realize it. It was so subtle. All I'm doing my taxes, he goes, add this up. Yeah, so what? Add it up again. Add it up again. Oh, what's going on here? I'm going nuts here. And then all of a sudden he goes, where were you like 9 months ago? I'm going, Oh my goodness, I was in the pit of despair. Oh, it was the end of the world. You doubled your income, Aaron. Congratulations. I fell down on my hands and my knees. You go, my God, it's just the beginning, man. He's got debt. He's got you. What's the worst case scenario? We go to sleep. Right?
Right.
Our family's going to be there. We're going to wake up. We missed it. Okay. He'll take care of the rest of the stuff. He can keep his business going if we mess up, right? What's the best case scenario?
Man, we're just getting warmed up here. The adversary, I saw that thing once. It says, the adversary, when believers like this wake up in the morning, the adversary goes, dang it, he got up again. Mm-hmm. When your foot hits that floor, he goes, boy. And guess what happens? The darkness shrinks back. Because shadows cannot fight light. So we go out there, when we walk out there and go, and we look people right in the eyes and go, how are you? Yeah, I'm the guy. What guy? The guy. What guy? I'm the guy. I didn't even ask a question yet, but I'm the guy. This is confidence. We're the temple of the living God. What do you need?
Shwatwala ke turi shwafu kwala kali lete rasha sakali ni vudra pustaki yatresha akule ni te sasa se sheliki vudra ni fawa se sheliki asaka. My sons and my daughters, I've planned a perfect fairy tale for you. I know the ending, I know the beginning, and I know everything in between. I've planned all these things. It's an adventure. I know your heart's desire, and I know how badly you don't want to be bored and stuck in a rut. Well, I have good news for you. When I look at you, I see my perfect son, and I plan wonderful things. I do ask you to let some things go, because they're dirty, they're filthy, they're contagious. They'll contaminate other people. But I always deliver you, and you will always be better when you walk with me. So come along. It's the greatest adventure you will ever live.